there.
Yeah, I like to sip on mine like a connoisseur.
It does make your insides burn, though.
Not really. I mean, if you build a tolerance once you've had, like...
Because it's burnt everything away.
Yeah, it's like all the lining is gone.
It's pure meat now. There's no lining. There's nothing processing anything.
Let me put my phone on. Hey, we're recording.
Oh. Hi.
Hello. Let's go.
That's our intro.
Hello and welcome to Bioscope Brasa, the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jedi.
Wowza. I tried the monotone thing. Mm. You went for 80s I just glam went. Rock.
Journey.
Man, that was dope. Well
I didn't
done.
Stop believing and I went for it.
Yeah, you should never stop believing.
Mm. Hold
Although,
on to that feeling.
Some people should stop believing.
They should. You know that like it's going to be black next time.
Bruh, I don't want to hear your mixtape. Okay? Your shit is whack. Okay? You should stop recording those singing videos. Stop trying to become an actor, especially in South Africa.
And they've got so many platforms. Or stop trying to sell your podcast.
Yeah, guys, your podcast is not that good.
Podcast sucks.
This is actually that hits home a little bit. I think a little too close to home there, Jody.
The news.
But yeah, no, don't give up on your dreams if they are reasonable. Follow your reasonable dreams.
They should do smart goals.
Yeah, that's your bicycle price tip. Do smart goals. Follow your reasonable dreams. Mm-hmm. Okay, but anyway, let's not discourage everybody.
We are beacons of positivity.
Yeah, beacons. I can't. It's too early in the afternoon.
And I'm one Red Bull down.
I'm half a monster down. Go. Jody is at full throttle. Mm-hmm. Monster, it's the drink that lets you record a podcast.
Mm, proudly brought to you by.
Yeah. Well, I was supposed to say that first. Although we have no official sponsors, if you know anyone that wants to sponsor us, you are welcome to email us.
Yeah, use our email.
Yeah, use our email or DM us. We'll sell, like Jody said before, I think we'll sell ourselves if we have
to. We will. I'm not that expensive.
Yeah, me neither.
And I come at a discount.
Wow, you don't.
COME.
You don't have to enter at the discount. Fucking hell, at least. Let's establish a low price and then make it higher and then give it a discount. Okay.
No, I'm a basic. What's the male version of a B1TCH?
A Mitch, isn't it?
I'm a basic Mitch, man.
Basic Mitch. So, let's get into the news.
Our news and shorts.
Sebastian Stan. You know this man.
Mm-hmm.
He has a metal hand.
Keep going.
He likes to going. Plan. He'll fuck your man.
Oh, wow. You keep going A. You can go A, B.
Yeah, but I'm not a rapper. So.
Glad you're not a rapper.
No, like the Eminem is orange and the orange. Chris D'Elia, fuck Chris D'Elia, because, he's like a little pedophilic, but he used to have a good butt where he made fun of Eminem, and he would just say gibberish and rhyme it, like, in Eminem style. It's really good, but, don't give him any views. Anyway, Sebastian Stan is in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, yes, which is currently airing weekly.
Yeah, Marvel's current series after
WandaVision. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
It is
so
very
cinematic.
Good. Every week, it pisses me off because I get like into it. Each episode is like 40-odd minutes.
Yeah.
And then you get into it and then a movie and then poof, it ends. And then I'm like, son of a bitch, fuck. I have to wait another fucking week.
A whole week.
Anyway. They
are actually making us wait a week.
Yes, it's but that show is good. So Sebastian Stan, he plays the Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm.
Bucky Barnes. And It recently came out that he found out about Captain America, the Winter Soldier, when it was announced on stage at Comic-Con.
Yeah, apparently no contact with him whatsoever. Because his character was in the first Avenger.
Yeah.
He fell from the train. We all presumed he's dead. Unless you actually now know what's going to come in the comics and shit, right?
Yeah.
But Bucky, for the longest time, was the character who remained dead. He went against all comic book tropes of people coming back. So, for all intents and purposes, he's gone.
That's kind of cack, though. Imagine you, now, you're on a contract.
Mm.
And your contract comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And then you at, like, the end of your function.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody tells you nothing. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, and Jody will be staying with us for another year.
And at that point, you've already caught on all that already shit sent because you didn't think you're coming back.
You sent out your CV, you're going for interviews. And
no, but you've caught on all that stuff there, man. You've drunk, you
burned some bridges.
You burned some bridges, you're like, and you know what, Bridget? I took your food.
Yeah.
It was me.
And then they're like, BT Dubs, Jody will be staying with us for another year. And then it's like, creak, 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 creak. No, it's the equivalent of that. I mean, actors, they don't know where their job is going to happen next.
Yeah.
It's similar to the story with Vision.
Exactly.
What's his name?
With Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany as well. They didn't know they were going to be in, you know, upcoming movies. And then you hear live on stage.
Mm. I'm going to be in stuff. Oh, cool.
Yeah,
what
and
a job.
The fans are probably like, woo! Because that's all they do at Comic-Con. Yeah. Woo!
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
God. Well, that, I'm happy for him. I really dig him in this character.
I think he's currently one of the longest serving now, right? Because all the others are fading away.
Serving.
Yeah, like it's longest serving. It's been tough.
Yeah.
And he's actually grown into this character. I'm glad he's getting more like screen time and opportunity to show his skills. And
if you were seeing the show, like the way the character has evolved in the progression, I'm really digging where they're taking it. Because,
definitely.
Spoiler alert, he is looking for... He's looking to make amends at this point.
Yeah. So My name is Erling Enough.
Yeah, my name is Erling Enough. In the show, he has a list of people that he has wronged, and he's trying to, you know, at least tell them the truth and sort of work through his issues, you know?
Yeah.
Psychological shit, which is tough.
Yeah.
It's like addict cuck. Like you have to ask
and
people
PTSD
for forgiveness. Yeah.
And all of those things.
Yeah, themes of racism and shit. Mm. That show is so good, man.
So good.
Go watch
it.
Go watch it. Space Jam 2,
Ooh.
A New Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the first Space Jam, Jody?
I remember it well.
Is it?
Very well.
It's not a good movie.
It's really not.
It's not a good movie. Michael Jordan is a horrible actor.
Yeah.
He's a horrible actor.
Yeah, being called the Michael Jordan of acting does not go down as
That's
well
an insult.
As...
but I did love it back in the day.
I mean, I think we all loved it. Just having...
I don't know if you're all people.
No, I challenge you to find someone who doesn't like Space Jam.
My wife will probably not like it.
She loves Space Jam.
I just like the song. Mm. Welcome to the Space Jam.
I thought you were gonna
all right.
Or Kelly us up there.
No, we do not. We do not.
He's not coming back for
no,
the
no,
second
no,
one.
No, 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 no. Well, he might be cheap.
I believe I can still fly.
I believe I can fly straight to prison. Hopefully,
I'm fighting for my life.
Fuck that guy! What an asshole! Rotten hell, or Kelly, but. Yeah, Space Jam, special place in my heart. Mm-hmm. I fucking loved it when it came out in the 90s. Essentially, it's one big advert.
It is. So much product placement and everything.
God, it's not even... Like, if you break it down logically as a story, it makes no sense.
None whatsoever. And then Bill Murray just pitches up.
Yeah. But we ate it up as kids. So... They are making a new Space Jam. I'm sure you've heard of this with LeBron James, which people say is the next GOAT is the GOAT over Michael Jordan. I'm a Michael Jordan guy. I don't believe he is the GOAT yet. Where's them championships, LeBron?
Mm-hmm.
We are them championships, yo.
Mm-hmm.
A new legacy.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And this story immediately looks a lot more coherent than the previous one.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like it was written by an actual screenwriter.
Yes, as opposed to people who were just like, we're getting Jordan.
Oh, I thought it was like just a room full of monkeys with like targets and they just
had
darts and they just threw content.
I'm sure you watched The Last Dance and they spoke about how Jordan just had people over all the time for training.
Yes.
Essentially all-star matches.
That was just... That was the best thing ever because he was filming Space Jam on a lot.
Yeah.
And he had, they had built him a basketball court on the lot. And yeah. he would just invite like the best players in yeah. the world to come have pickup games. Mm. But they thought it was just fun and stuff in the no, off season. But it turns out they were just making Michael Jordan stronger. Because he was learning.
Everyone.
It's like AI. Yeah, yeah, he was learning everybody's moves. He yeah. was learning how to defend, how to attack, mm. all this shit. And when the season actually started, he came back fucking
exactly.
so strong.
And I assume that the plot of the movie was just them just spitballing that. During yeah. those pickup games. That's and it made
it
money.
It made them a lot of money. got him another championship. Mm-hmm. Everybody wins. But we're talking about the fucking old movie. We should be talking about the new movie. LeBron James, he is by far a better actor
than
Michael
Jordan.
He looks
like he can actually act.
In Trainwreck, he was really good.
I know. But also, Amy Schumer's just...
Never mind Amy Schumer, the joke stealing Amy yeah. Schumer. Okay, we don't. It's not that she's a woman mm. in comedy.
She just steals jokes.
She steals jokes, and you know, it's terrible. There's a scene where he's talking to Paul Ada, and they just had lunch or something, mm. and they're having, like LeBron says, he wants to calculate it so they can split the bowl, but he's LeBron James. And Paul Ada's like, just get it, I'll get it next time. And he's like, no, you know, we need to split the ball. And he's like, you're fucking LeBron James. And then it gets time to pay it. And LeBron is like, oh, I forgot my wallet.
After splitting everything.
It's so good. Oh, but yeah, he's a way better actor than Michael Jordan. Tell us a little bit about the story from what we got from the trailer.
The storyline looks a lot more interesting. So LeBron and his son, not real
what's
son.
What's his son's name? Lil LeBron.
Lil LeBron.
Lil LeBron.
Lil LeBron. Apostrophe.
LeBron.
Yeah.
I love it.
So him and his son are like having typical father-son issues. They
like
go
when?
To the Warner Brothers lot. You know, acceptance. Let me be me. I don't want to go to basketball camp.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to band camp.
Classic. I had the same issue with my
band
dad.
Camp. Yeah.
Except with building.
Did you not say you do building camp?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to build a camp.
What do you learn at building camp? They make you just build the camp.
Yeah, that's it. And then you go. You build the camp for the white kids. And then you go. Anyway.
I think that's what your dad called it.
Yeah, yeah.
Other people call that work.
I think he tried to make it fun for me.
So LeBron and his son are having father-son issues, and then they get invited to Warner Brothers lot.
Yeah.
LeBron gets sucked into some sphere-looking.
Yeah. How, what do you think
thing?
About that? This network. So Don yeah. Cheadle seems like the villain.
The villain of this thing. And
whereas the villain from the previous film, they were aliens.
Was that evil basketball.
Yeah.
That sucked in the spirit.
The juju sucking basketball. Yeah. But they were aliens that kind of wanted to destroy the tunes. The tunes.
Yeah.
But this is like, he's like a, what? Like a network god or something?
Yes. And then, I don't know what he actually wants. I couldn't really get the...
Yeah.
What the purpose was. But then he tells LeBron that, you know, they need to take on... They're going to play a little something like,
yeah.
I don't know, network basketball.
Mm.
And then LeBron gets thrown into the reject world.
Yeah.
Which is the Toons.
Yeah.
It's where the Looney Tunes are.
Looney Tunes. And he becomes a cartoon.
Yes.
Which I have a problem with because his cartoon is light skin.
Mm.
And LeBron is dark skin.
Yeah. And surprisingly,
why not just make
fall out. Just make him look like he looks.
Yeah. The isn't fuck?
It? Exactly.
Stop trying to whitewash our basketball
yeah.
players.
Damn it.
Anyway.
Anywho, yeah. LeBron recruits his team, which is obviously all the Toon Squad.
Yeah, well, there's a list in the trailer where he's like Superman, Godzilla,
yeah, King Gandalf.
Yeah, Gandalf. Like he's trying to build a super team, but nope. All he's got
Bugs is busy organizing for all the favorites.
Which is kind of true because like the Looney Tunes aren't talented. Famous anymore.
Yeah,
like,
they are
the
rejects now.
They're not at the forefront of like... kids cartoons and shit.
Yeah, I mean when we were younger they were on everything, you know. It's like if there was a gap on TV, they'd yeah. play a Looney Tunes thing to fill that space.
Yeah,
instead of
the only time you see the Looney Tunes now is on silk boxes.
Mm, exactly. Like that silky polyester blend.
Hey, I think it's full polyester actually. Mm. But anyway,
so much static.
As you go swimming. They become like CGI afterwards. So they start as tunes. I keep saying tunes.
Animated tunes.
Damn it. So they start as tunes and then they become like CGI afterwards. I don't know. Mm. Something happens. And then they play like the basketball.
Yeah.
But there are so many cameos, if you will.
Easter eggs, whatever you want to call
them. The Iron Giant is...
Yeah, the Iron Giant is one of the ones that you can clearly see. King Kong, you can see clearly. But there's so many that you just, like... You actually need to pause every frame.
Yeah, people actually have an issue because they characters from A Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
Can be seen in the background.
Was that Stanley Kubrick?
Stanley Kubrick, yeah.
Stanley Kubrick classic.
Yeah, because that movie's not an easy watch.
And no.
There's like rape and all sorts of shit in there. So people like find it problematic that these characters are in the background of a children's movie.
Yeah, and also Pepe Le Pew was removed as a character because of his, you know, slightly his aversion to no.
Yeah, and he's problematic, Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, so he was kicked out, but now they are kept in, the people from A Clockwork Orange, which is very, like, I was trying to find them in the trailer and I couldn't find them on initial viewing, and it was just like very strange. And
oh, that's very strange. I got a number from a number I don't know. I got a phone call from a number I don't know. And now Jody's getting a phone call.
Same time.
Like immediately after me. Mm. Is anyone looking for us?
Anywho.
If you are looking for us, email us at biscobrasa.
Send us a voice
at gmail.com.
So, they've kicked out the Pepe Le Pew, but they did let in what's-his-face. They did let in the Clockwork Orange guys, which is a bit weird, but you can't even really see them in the trailer.
Yeah, you can't see. Like, it's a blink and you'll miss it moment.
Exactly.
But Pepe Le Pew usually has, like, dialogue and shit. And he is le toxic, le masculinity.
Yes. Like, he does not know how to give up.
Yes, he's a little bit rapey.
Cross-breed rapey also.
Yes.
Not cross-breed, cross-species.
Cross-species. He goes after, like, cats. Human women and cats. Yeah. No, is it human women?
Well,
I can't remember.
His cartoon was always him going after cats who had a stripe painted
down
their back.
Fuck Pepe Le Pew. I was never a fan of Pepe Le Pew anyhow.
You're currently wearing black and white, much like Pepe.
Wow. That is... spot on, actually. You got me. No.
I'm such a big baby.
No, fuck Pepe Le Pew. But you know what? Overall, I am kind of excited for this film. Mm. I think it's going to be fun.
It looks like a fun time. I had some trepidation because this thing's been in like production hell for decades.
I don't know about hell. I mean, but
like, it's been suggested literally since that time that they'll do a Space Jam 2 because the first one was successful and it was linked with... like Kobe, every
they're probably gonna do a Kobe tribute. They must do. Yeah.
But like every popular player since Michael Jordan has been linked to a Space Jam project.
Yeah,
and for it to now come to fruition, I think it's exciting.
Kobe also a better actor than Michael Jordan. Mm. Oscar
many,
winner,
not many or worse.
Oscar winner, Kobe Bryant.
Yes, he did. What was that for?
It was a short film. Mm. Beautiful short film. Catch. I think you can get it on YouTube if you want. Mm-hmm. It's called something.
Mm. Bringing you detailed and rich information.
Oh, Dear Basketball. It's called Dear Basketball.
Of course.
Wonderful.
It is.
Anyway, yeah. Fucking Space Jam 2, A New Legacy. Let's go.
Let's go.
So, Sam Neill. Sam Neill.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
In Australia, mate.
Yeah, mate.
Tofuro Nrumer, Jody's notes are the fucking worst.
Thorfall, the fourth Thor.
So we have a running joke where we call it Thorfall, the fourth Thor. And Jody wrote T4OR, which I'm supposed to figure out.
Is Thorfall,
the fourth Thor. Oh my fuck. That's like some code-breaking shit. I don't work for the CIA,
the
my
H.
G. Shit.
It's like an H.
So Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum in Australia, I don't know if you know this, but they are co-stars from the Jurassic Park franchise.
Yeah.
They were spotted in Australia, mate.
They've been spotted there, mate.
Spotted
on
set,
there, mate.
Yeah, for Thor, for the fourth
Thor.
Yeah, In Australia, you have to end every sentence with yeah, cunt.
Or mate.
No, I think
you can't, mate.
Yeah, you might can't. Yeah, That's exciting. They keep adding people to this fucking course.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there anyone who's not been added currently?
Not that I can know of.
It's like, are you working? You are in.
Yeah, fuck it. It's going to be liquor, though.
I have faith in Tiger.
Yeah, man. Gonna that bro's going to fucking meet it out of the park. Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be colorful. It's going to be lit.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Unless
there's dinosaurs in the form.
Imagine. they are playing their characters.
Oh, yes, exactly. And then Jeff Goldblum is just going to appear, black shirt, open, breathing heavily.
Blowing.
That's right. Oh, it's going to be so sexy.
And when Thor needs help, they're going to bring that one-eyed T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
No, but
it's gonna come save the day.
So he's gonna be reprising his role as that what's that guy's
the name? Grandmaster.
Yeah, the Grandmaster. And then Sam Neill. Sam can do anything. Mm-hmm. Shit, Hunt for the Wilder People. Watch that stuff.
Yeah.
So good. So liquor. We're gonna talk about the real reason Samuel L. Jackson
was cast as Jules
in Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
Have you heard the story?
I have not.
So Sam Jackson, him and Quentin Tarantino. Him and QT had an existing relationship from True Romance, which Quentin Tarantino wrote but didn't direct.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson was cast in there. And when Quentin Tarantino was writing the script for Pulp Fiction, he's like, I've got a role for you, but you need to audition for it. So he was writing the role of Jules with Samuel L. Jackson in mind. Sam Jackson pitches up at the audition and they confuse him for guess who?
John Travolta.
No.
Morgan Freeman.
The person he always gets confused with, Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, God.
And he just gets so pissed off because he like pitches up and like, sorry, Mr. Fishburne, we don't have you on the list. Wow. So he was pissed off when he did the audition and then they were like, this is our man. We're going for it.
They do not look alike. I don't understand this.
Do you know what's ironic?
Right.
Lawrence Fishburne was offered the role as well. And he turned it down because he didn't like the scene where Mia gets revived after she overdoses, because he's like, they're glamorizing drugs. So he was actually offered the role, but they look nothing alike.
Yeah, I would be upset too, man. Like, I don't get it.
There's no resemblance.
There's no resemblance whatsoever. I don't get it.
And a few people have done this already.
Yeah, it's happened live television already. Like, that's bananas to me.
I can't see how you even mix them up.
Shit. I just think, like, Tarantino just likes to cast black people so he can call them the N-word.
Uh-huh. You can just drop it, will you? Yeah. Like, it's all it's time.
Yo, there's the scene in his house where he says some foul shit when they're trying to clean up the car.
Mm.
Anyway, well, we'll probably do a Tarantino verse.
Yes, it's been requested.
It has been requested, yeah. But fuck, that I don't even know what to say to that, because that's like, yeah, it's a cool story and all, but there's some deeper issues there.
There are some deeper issues.
Like, what the actual fuck? And I don't even think they looked even more, like, they didn't look more similar when they were younger, in the 90s.
At no stage did they look alike. Fucking bullshit. I'm sorry.
Adam Wingard. Direct. His most recent movie is Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yes, it is.
Which we're going to be talking about. No, spoiler alert. But, he's going to be directing the Thunderbirds movie. Yeah. Were you a Thunderbirds fan?
Thundercats. It's a typo.
This is the last time you make me look like a fool on this fucking show, Joe.
Oh, I've been building to this twist for a while.
You son of a bitch. I mean, they already know I do zero research. And you fucking trap me. I'm tired of this shit.
It's Thundercats.
Thundercats, fuck. Okay, that changes everything, because I was a huge fan of Thundercats.
Yes.
Thunderbirds, not so much. It was alright, but Thundercats was lit, bro. Mm-hmm. Lionel.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. And there was a revival, but they changed like the tone of the show, because they did like this cartoon and it was way more stylized, kid-friendly and shit, but it was funny. I appreciate it for what they were trying to do. But this, I assume, is going to be closer to the 90s
original
cartoon,
right? I assume, yeah. And I don't know if this is live action or...
It has to be, you know.
I assume so, but I think it would have also been fun to just keep that animation from the originals and tell a story with that.
The problem, what, are you talking about hand-drawn animation, 2D animation?
Mm. Which isn't done.
Yeah, but I don't think that'll bring people to the cinemas.
No, that's true.
You like in this day and age, you have to be CGI or live action. Mm. Or you go like Invincible with a TV show.
Yes.
I am excited about this because I loved Thundercats.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I loved Cats and the animation that they... And no. The CGI from
also,
Cats.
Also, release the battle cut for Cats. If you don't know, then when they were doing the film Cats, it's like they were doing the CGI and whatever, and they wanted it like super realistic. So apparently, according to insiders, there is a cut where they had... they had digitally inserted anuses on each of the characters on the cats. I want to see that version.
And James Corden was his actual anus.
Yes, it was his actual anus. Fucking hell, gross. But like, I want to see the bottle cut of cats. Hashtag release the bottle cut. One day, Jody, before we die.
We're going to start review bombing.
Have to watch Cats. We said we were going to watch it.
Yeah, it's on our list.
Oh, my God. I'm not looking forward to that.
I need to be emotionally prepared for that.
Mm.
Jason Catrullo.
That song does slap, though.
The Jason Catrullo song.
No, not that one. I'm talking about Memories.
Mm-hmm. It would.
I sang it in the choir.
Really?
Yeah, I used to be a second soprano.
Wow.
Yeah, but then my voice
not
broke.
Good enough for first, are you?
No, I wasn't good enough. I'm not going to argue with that. you know, I'm exceptionally mediocre. So we sang that song and it was fucking lit, bro. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Like, we brought our choir person. What do you call him?
The choir master.
Yeah, or director, or whatever. Mm. We brought it to tears like every time we sang it.
And it's because your battles were in it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, you have to clinch them when you go for those notes. Did you hear the clinch?
Uh-huh.
Nice. So, Thundercats is what we were talking about. I think it's going to be liquor, man. If they mustn't, again, don't take yourself too seriously.
Mm.
Like, I am a little tired of, like, superhero films and media. Always, it doesn't always have to be dark.
No.
Like, did you hear about the Powerpuff Girls?
Yes, the live action one that's coming up.
Yeah, so the story for that is that they are now in their 20s and they are like...
Dealing with the issues of being young superheroes.
Yeah, like they have some resentment towards their father because they were superheroes. And
he only mixed sugar, spice and everything. Nice.
Yeah, but I saw this take on it where like if you watch the actual show, they enjoyed being superheroes back in the day. Like they loved actually. He had to convince him to stay at home.
Yeah.
Because to do their schoolwork and be safe and shit. And they would run out and fight crime. So it's like that contradicts what the cartoon was, which is like you don't have to go too far from all the
like,
time. You
like
don't have
the
to
Power
make it super
Rangers
real
also
and grounded.
All
yeah.
gritty and...
Yeah, they tried to make... they tried to balance... What was her name? What's the name of the blonde woman that is a Pitch Perfect director and...
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, she was the villain in there. And she was in a different movie to the...
To the everyone else. She was Rita in the...
Rita Ora. Rita Repulsive.
Yeah, Rapunzel.
No, it's not. She didn't have long hair.
She did.
No, it was
she
Rita Repulsa.
It was a bun.
No, man, you cuck me. Rita Repulsa.
Told you.
Oh,
that's
my God.
That's what I said.
No, fuck you, Joni.
Hashtag gaslighting you.
You are gaslighting me, you son of a bitch. anyway. What were we talking about again? Yes, let's go. Fuck it. But don't make it too dark and shit.
Just enjoy yourself.
Just enjoy yourself.
Capture the nostalgia and the essence of the original so that you get the people who actually liked it come and watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah. They must do that with He-Man also.
Yes.
Because He-Man is ridiculous.
He-Man was the original acceptor of pronouns.
Next game, She-Ra.
She identified as She and Ra.
Sec, it's time for a review.
All right, it is time for a battle. No, it's not it is a battle, but it's not a bicycle
it's
battle.
It's a battle at the cinema.
It's a cinema battle.
Mm.
And this week we are reviewing Godzilla versus King Kong. King Kong.
You can't reveal any spoilers at this stage.
Yes, sirs. Oh, they had a moment. So, Jody, do you want to hit us with a synopsis?
I shall. This movie.
Can you see from there?
I can. I've got
wow.
this movie stars, I don't know which actors to focus on.
And I think you must just say this movie stars Godzilla and Kong.
And Kong. Yeah. And people. Some of the people are Millie Bobby Brown, Brian Tyree Henry, Kyle Chandler, Alexander Skarsgård, Rebecca Hall. I guess that's it, the main ones.
Yeah, man, who cares?
Directed by Adam Wingard. And this film is about Kong and his protectors undertaking a perilous journey to find his true home. Ooh. Along for the ride is Gia, an orphan girl who has a unique and powerful bond with the mighty beast. However, they soon find themselves in the path of an enraged Godzilla as he cuts a swath of destruction across the globe. The initial confrontation between the two titans, instigated by an unseen force, is only the beginning of a mystery that lies deep within the core of our planet.
Yo, that's lit, bro.
That's an epic.
wow. Okay, so let's do non-spoilers first.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't care much for the human characters.
This has got to be like the story with the least importance attached to the humans out of all of these films.
I didn't think I would feel it so much, but I felt it. There's was just so like, can we hurry this up?
Which is unfortunate because the Godzilla that introduced us to this current like monster.
I really loved that film.
Had Bryan Cranston in it, Aaron Taylor Johnson, yeah. Elizabeth Olsen. You were invested somewhat.
Yeah,
in the,
that
the
was
stories.
A clinic on like foreplay.
Yeah. Teasing out the reveal of the monster.
Just the climax in the end. I know it sounds sexual, but it legit, the cinematic equivalent
Quentin
of
Quentin Tarantino believes filmmaking is a sexual act, so.
Why would you say that? He is problematic. Listen, when we're going to dive into I've been going into a bit of a rabbit hole with Quentin Tarantino and things feet. That he has said. Not just feet. Anyway, but we digress.
We digress.
So. Yeah, this was very, very strange. And like you said, when we got introduced to that, it was more of a tease. Like, yeah. I really enjoyed the fact that we didn't see Godzilla for such a long time. And then in the end, they just revealed him in his full glory.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Even Kong, the Kong Skull Island film, we had Brie Larson. We had, what's his face? Loki Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, Loki
Samuel
Tom Hiddleston. That's his official.
That's his real
That's his
name.
Government name.
Yeah. We had Samuel L. Jackson, Toby Kebbell, like again, human characters who their story is important to the film.
Not as important.
Not as, but relevant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This one, you could swap out any of the people in this movie for anyone else, and it wouldn't change a single thing about this
No, it really wouldn't. But
you and I could have been running around. It would have been just as impactful.
We didn't have to be running around. We could have been sitting recording a podcast.
Yeah, and this movie's happening.
So, of the human characters, who did you enjoy the most?
Brian Tyree Henry, probably.
Okay, yeah, he was supposed to be the comic relief as well. But you should use fluoride. It is good for your bones and teeth. Like, he's a conspiracy theorist, so he has this podcast about, like, the Titans and so on, and, you know, the conspiracy behind it, and this company, what are they called again?
Apex,
yeah. And he's got some, he's right about some things, but also he's
very wrong about,
he's crackpottish about a few other things, like the fluoride in the water type.
Doesn't brush his teeth with fluoride.
So I did enjoy him.
Who was yours?
I guess him as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
the options aren't great.
I didn't even care for the deaf girl, to be honest. I'm like, she communicates with Kong. It is revealed that she can communicate with Kong, and she's deaf. So they do it with sign language and stuff. But like, that is also a trope that I've seen before.
Yeah.
Little girl has special connection with monster.
Yeah, and even like the sign language thing was used in Planet of the Apes recently also with James Franco's character and Caesar in there. So it's like they retread a lot of stuff that's been done before in that sense. Look, if we're being honest, everything in this film...
We should be honest. We should be honest.
You know, we don't lie to anyone.
But that's why I wanted to get like the human shit out of the way because the fights, bro. The fights, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
And that is what I enjoyed the most.
They deliver.
They deliver hot. Mm-hmm. They deliver fresh. They deliver before time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is so good. Mm-hmm. The way it is sort of shot, like, okay. So you remember Pacific Rim?
Mm.
The first one.
Yeah.
So that one, in terms of the kaiju and the giant robots, they shot it in a way that made them feel so big.
Yeah.
Because they'll shoot it from like street level and shoot it up. And, you know, the way they move and you'll feel the weight of everything. And then you go to Pacific Rim 2 where all that goes out the window. And it just looks terrible because these kaiju and robots are just running around. And it just looks like, okay, it's regular.
There's whatever. No impact.
No impact whatsoever. And I'm so glad that they kind of reverted back to that.
Yeah.
Of the scale of it and looking at it from angles where you're like, oh my goodness, these things are so huge.
Yeah. Even the battle on the ship, which was the one that got teased in the trailer quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, having what are those boats called again? The airships.
Yeah, the airships.
Yeah, the one that the jets go off of.
The jet airships.
Battleships.
The battleships.
Having those as a scale for the monsters, because those things are massive, right? They have runways for jets to take off of.
Yeah.
And like we see Kong just lying on one and Godzilla comes up and he just like totally.
So in this form, Godzilla is like 120 odd meters and then Kong is like 102 meters.
Yeah.
It's cocked over.
It's massive. And so I think we mentioned previously, Kong has been scaled up. So this has taken place decades after Kong's previous movie.
Because Skull Island is like a teenager.
Yeah, he's still adolescent. He's
still growing. He's a growing boy.
He's a growing boy. Yeah. He's still going to hit puberty. He's still going to lose his...
In this form, he's like an adult.
Yeah. So he's gone through all the nipple pain that comes with
Nipple pain, balls dropping.
Exactly.
Awkwardly trying to figure out his sexuality, like asking girls or guys out and stuff and being rejected.
And his online profile.
Feeling angst, listening to sad music in your room, discovering smoking, possibly drugs, alcohol.
A little experimentation.
Yeah, just becoming a full-fledged adult.
Being a vegan for a week and then realizing, it's not worth it.
Not worth it. Sort of, you know, getting and losing friends along the way. Like the whole spiel. So he's a well-rounded adult here.
Yeah.
Fully confident in his abilities. Yeah, wispy beard. It's in the trailer, Kong bows to no one.
Yes.
And the first battle. So good.
Yeah.
So good. Takes place on the water because they're transporting Kong. What did you think of the plot, actually? Let's go there.
I think the plot also, again.
Or was that just secondary?
That's incidental, man. Everything exists to get them to fight in this film.
So I like the fact that they included like the monsters in the plot, sort of. So in order to drive the plot forward, they needed Kong. It wasn't just like Kong was somewhere and the humans were running around and then like, oh shit, yeah, he comes, they have to fight.
Yeah.
They needed Kong. This government agency, Apex, they're trying to get to a mystical land, like it's a myth at this point, called Hollow Earth, in the center of the Earth.
Yeah, which has been referenced, obviously, since the first Kong movie, as the place that exists below Earth, but they don't really know what's going on.
Exactly, and this is where the Titans originally come from. And they want to get there and tap into that energy signature or whatever, and they want Kong to kind of lead the way because he's from there.
Yeah.
So they transport him from this dome that he's been in this whole time.
Mm.
And he has to take them through to Hollow Earth, which I thought was cool because it's like I said, they're involved in the story and you get to see a bit more of Kong. This is more Kong's movie than Godzilla movie.
Yeah, and I think Kong, I don't know if you noticed, but Kong's face is more animated in this.
Yeah.
So Kong's got like various facial expressions. He's actually emotive in this movie.
Even his eyes, no?
Yeah. Yes, and I think the reason for that is because Kong is the protagonist because there's more of a connection between us and Kong.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got nipples.
He's got nipples. That's it. We told you from the start. Along. It's fucking the nipples.
So Kong is, I view him as the protagonist, the one that we are kind of invested in his story.
Because the movie starts off and then Godzilla just attacks this facility. Out of nowhere, and he kills like a shit ton of people.
Yeah, which is against the character of Godzilla.
Yeah, because he's supposed to bring balance to the force.
Yeah. He was the chosen one.
So he was supposed to bring balance to the force. So he doesn't really attack human beings. He attacks Titans and asserts himself as sort of the alpha. But yeah, he attacks this government facility for
seemingly
no reason. But there's a reason.
There is.
And then obviously we focus on Kong and they're like, no, we have to bring Kong because He has to take a stand. We have to stop talking to people. Yeah, like you said, I didn't really care so much.
You could mute all of that. It would make no difference.
Make no difference.
To your enjoyment.
It does not matter. I don't know if you want to go into spoilers.
Yeah, man, let's start off. You can't really go any deeper without going into spoiler territory.
Yeah, so let's go into spoilers. You don't have to do it if I'm doing it.
But it's cooler if I add it.
That is not cooler. Who told you this? Is this Jamie again?
No, it's my spirit.
What was that?
My spirit is moved.
Don't listen to your spirit. Deaf Girl is a Kong whisperer. I didn't really like that. She kept running into really dangerous situations.
And no one's paying attention to her.
The worst mother in the world.
Yeah.
Because every single time she turns her back, this fucking girl is running straight into the action.
Did she actually adopt her or did she just like decide?
I don't know.
She's now my child.
She's not. I don't know. She must be.
Yeah, Rebecca Hall's got some white savior things going on in this film.
Yeah.
Her character and Monarch, I guess, overall. So you mentioned Kong is like in the dome, right?
Yeah, he's in the dome.
So on Skull Island, the storms that used to surround the island have now taken over the entire island.
Yeah.
And Kong is kept in a containment unit, which apparently is why Godzilla can't sense him.
Yeah, it's lead or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. It's like the Truman Show dome.
Yeah.
Kong is like stuck in.
Except Kong knows that he's there and he's
pissed. And this little girl can just run freely in this land. Yeah. Like, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
There must be other animals there, right?
And there must also be more people there.
Yeah, but it must be dangerous. So
you would think that.
Fucking
there's
hell.
There's lots of danger to her.
Also, later, they take that girl to Hollow Earth.
They take her everywhere.
What?
Because apparently she's the only one that Kong listens to.
It's so dangerous.
You gonna die today.
Ugh, they use her to manipulate that poor ape. She irritated me.
What did you make of that plot point, though? So according to the mythos they've established, Godzilla always senses when there's like another ape.
Yeah, he's got like a power.
Yeah.
So
why would a dome or anything stop Godzilla from knowing that Kong is...
I think it's like lead. Like it's a Superman vibe. Like you can't see through lead.
Yeah, that sense doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't do well for lead poisoning though. I'm sure some people died from that.
Yeah.
But they don't establish that. I guess they don't have to. Like you said, we could talk so much about the characters in the plot, which we probably will.
Yeah.
But in the end, it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter. I mean, that first fight, right?
First fight was so class.
They hyped it in the trailer. I can say that I don't think they actually revealed the best bits in the trailer. I think that all of the fights, like the scale of it, the sheer...
So that's round one. Let's call that round one. Godzilla wins round one.
Yeah, quite hands down.
I mean, first of all, it's not on land. It's in the ocean, so he has an advantage. But he beats the shit out of Kong.
And he would win, and then the humans help Kong.
Yeah.
I don't know why those underwater bombs apparently disorientate Godzilla when missiles seem to have no effect on him whatsoever.
It's the water.
Oh.
Yeah.
It confuses
It's like, me. So it's the same thing as farting underwater. It's more intense.
I drop bombs underwater.
It's
and you know when
way
the
worse.
Steam comes
even
up.
In the shower.
When the steam comes out.
It's the same principle
danger.
With water bombs. Yeah. Talking
Speaking
about danger.
Of,
I know.
He's in danger right now.
Yeah, he's in ICU, bro. Fighting for his life.
Yeah, man.
Where my dog's at?
Don't do drugs, man.
Save DMX.
Yeah.
Or, okay. If it's his time, it's his time.
Okay.
No, I mean like...
So preordained destiny?
No, it's just like, fuck, bro. If he's got sick and he passes away...
But he didn't get sick. He overdosed.
Overdosed, whatever. Yeah. He's on crack, right?
Yeah,
he's a crack
I think
addict.
So.
Fuck, no. That's rough.
Anyway.
First fight, round one.
Definitely
Godzilla's the winner. How does that lady scientist let that Skarsgård guy manipulator so easily?
I don't know, but he's got beautiful Swedish blue eyes.
Yo, he's just like, no, we have to. He's like, no, we have to do this. And she's like, no. And then she's like, no, but we have to do it. And she's like, okay, yeah. It's like every time.
And they've portrayed her up to that point as, because they show us like news clippings and stuff, and they portray her as the strong female character who, she's in charge of the Monarch unit, which is containing Kong.
Yeah.
And she's
so Monarch is like the good guys. And
suppose,
then,
yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Relative.
Apex are the bad guys.
Yeah,
we'll get into Apex.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know why she's manipulated that easily. With Alexander Skarsgård's character, I also don't understand why in each of these films he's always like some crackpot scientist guy who knows of something who they just happen to find for purposes of the movie.
Yeah, he's been ridiculed like in his academic career, and now... They
now
want him for
pitch.
This specific thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're the only one that knows this shit.
Yeah,
and
we
like,
believe you.
I was right all along. And
There's always these redemptions.
Yeah, God. Millie Bobby Brown. She's a selfish asshole.
She is. And she's also like, I'm very important and I need to save the world.
Yeah. How does she figure? First of all, so the
teenagers.
Ricky Baker.
Mm.
What's his name?
Julian Dennison.
Yeah, I'm going to call him Ricky Baker. So, Ricky Baker, I mean, that's no slight on him. It's just that's my favorite character, and I can't remember his real name. But anyway, Ricky Baker plays also like the comic relief, and he's like this nerd, and he's friends with Millie Bobby Brown, but she treats him like shit. And then he's just like, they're kids.
Mm.
And they are like breaking into high security.
Yeah.
Facilities.
Yeah, I made a note to say that she is literally too cool for school.
I'm like, how does she know all this shit? How does she... I don't understand it.
Well, she listens to a podcast.
Listens to a podcast.
Taught her everything she needs to know, which is a lesson about why everyone should be listening to our podcast.
I actually wrote her father has a line that says, podcasts filling people's heads with crap. And that resonated with me. But yeah, she was problematic for me. She irritated me.
I think that she, in the first movie, like she did silly things, but she was younger and she was more regarded as a child. Whereas in this one, you're like, you're just being stupid and putting yourself in stupid positions.
And whenever they cut to the three of them, because the three of them go on like the side quest to like do the shit, it just feels like the movie just grinds to a halt.
Completely. Because there's a scene where they cut away from... I think it's right after the aircraft carrier fight where they then go to them, and now Millie Bobby Brown and Julian Dennison meet up with Brian Tyree Henry. They blackmail him into helping them
because
she's badass. You know?
Yeah, she's that badass.
And then he explains like what he's seen, because he is a guy who worked at Apex or works for Apex.
Yeah.
Who's trying to reveal their secrets and has a podcast.
Yeah.
And they just go off on the side mission that, as you said, completely grinds the story to halt each 100%. Time and is so superfluous to anything.
I couldn't handle it. I mean, that being said, the performances are fine. Everybody's acting well enough.
Yeah, I guess.
It's just like...
I don't care.
I just don't care.
I really don't care.
I don't give a shit. So they go to Hollow Earth, which I thought was really cool. So they go into the center of the Earth.
Oh, and by they, we're switching back to Kong.
Yeah, fuck. That's how unfocused I am on the fucking people.
Yeah.
So Apex and the lady.
Yeah, Rebecca Hall's.
Rebecca Hall's character scientist lady. Mm. Skarsgård crackpot scientist guy. And little deaf girl.
Mm.
They go to Hollow Earth with this Apex people and Kong.
Yes.
I really liked Hollow Earth. The playing with the gravity, because there's gravitational pulls on each side, so you can basically jump into the air high enough and land
and
on the other side.
When you look up, it's like you're looking at if your ceiling actually was another
floor,
and you jump onto it and then you walk on that side.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
The monsters there, Kong beating their ass with a little bit of help.
He needed some help in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it's a very cool world that they show us. I was a bit confused, though.
Why? Why were you confused?
So, according to Skarsgård's theory, he needed Kong to show them how to go there.
Yes.
And it was quite difficult to get in, right?
Really?
They needed the special ship that Apex designed. That could withstand all of the pressure of the switch and all of that stuff.
Yep.
And they could only go in where Kong shows him to go in.
Yes.
Which later in the film is proven not to be true.
No.
When Godzilla and Kong.
Because they could just draw.
Their main fight, yes.
So apparently you can just draw from anywhere.
And just go straight through.
Yeah, it's very strange. So Kong goes, it's his home essentially, it's where he's from, and he goes to Hollow Earth, and there's this like, they never established like the civilization part of it.
Yeah.
Like he opens doors.
Yeah, and the mythos is that Kong's descendants were the rulers of Hollow Earth,
yes.
And that there had actually been a battle with either Godzilla or Godzilla's descendants.
Yeah.
Now a lot of this has subsequently been explained by the script writers, which, and this is a pet hate of mine right now.
Explain you it release in the movie.
Exactly.
Tell us this.
You release
in the movie.
A movie and then you do press afterwards to explain things that are not clear from the film.
It's like Zack Snyder.
Yes, pretty much. Asshole. We said we'd not mention
that. Yeah, we were. Sorry. I'm sorry. I said the Z word. But yeah, I get it. It's so
they've
stupid.
They've explained that now.
Yeah.
But why not just make that more understandable, I know, from your movie?
Because it's like he enters this room and I was like, wow, that wasn't it. Like, they built tools and they have like, because there in that room, he sits on the throne. And that's actually quite a cool moment where he sits on the throne.
Because that is like him becoming King Kong.
Exactly. He's the last one of his kind.
Yeah.
And he sits in the throne and the music swells. And it was a really cool moment. But
he then also finds the axe, which is, it's got the fin of a Godzilla-like creature and is made from the bone of another titan.
Yeah.
We don't know which one.
We don't know which one.
But that axe powers
that
entire room, right? He plugs it into a little hole.
X-shaped hole. He puts the axe in the X-shaped hole.
Script writer explanation. That space that lights up is the body of a fallen Godzilla descendant.
Okay.
So that connects like to the Hollow Earth and powers everything up. That's why we see like the outline of the dorsal fins like on the floor. Again, you could have found a way to put that into the movie actually so that you don't have to tell us.
Yeah, I don't care so much about that. But also, be smarter about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a script writer, but like, just explain things a little bit. Not that things have to be, I don't like a lot of exposition.
Yeah.
But
you don't have to force feed it, but I'd weigh up things like that whole subplot of like Millie Bobby Brown and those characters. Is that necessary?
No.
In exchange for...
Because this is the shortest movie in the
one comes
it's
in
under 2 hours.
Under 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason for that, though.
Yeah. Can we talk about Apex, dude?
Yeah, we can talk about the nefarious company.
So Apex is actually a company that designs...
prosthetics.
Prosthetics.
So they design prosthetics. And obviously their next step is
The logical next step is
to weapons.
Yeah. So the actual plot of this film is that the guy that heads up Apex, he wants to create something that's strong enough to take on Godzilla.
Yes.
Because he's cut full of humans not being
the apex predator. And his company's called Apex.
Exactly.
So you know he's super serious about it.
Exactly. Because he doesn't want to have to take on Godzilla in court.
Yeah.
It's expensive. The legal battle could take ages.
Also, where do you get a courthouse big enough to...
For Godzilla.
Yeah.
Godzilla's objection is like...
Objection. And he just kills everyone. The head of the company, the father, what's his name? Anyway, doesn't matter. He was a little mustache twirly.
Quite.
Yeah.
Quite.
A little villainy.
And we are then also introduced to Let Them Fight's son.
Yes.
Who is apparently part of this company. So the person, what's his name, Serizawa, who died in the last film.
Yes.
Watanabe's character.
He has a son. Who became a bad guy.
Yeah. Douche.
Which kind of sucks.
Yeah, man.
Because I like Ken Watanabe.
His character was awesome in the
original. And then it's like, okay, his son's a bad guy now. But yeah, that company, that didn't make sense to me.
Didn't make sense at all.
But again, every time something didn't make sense or I got irritated by something, I was just like, it doesn't matter.
Nah.
Yeah.
As long as it gets me to the next fight.
I was like, okay, let's move on and then forever. And then round two.
Mm-hmm.
So... Godzilla, like you said, can shoot atomic breath straight into Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
Just drill.
Because Godzilla sensed Kong activating
the energy with the axe. Yeah. And then Godzilla's like, what? And he just shoots him atomic breath.
He just got all
straight
the way
into the ground.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla's like, fuck this. I got an axe now. I'm going to come beat your
Kong
ass,
is,
Mr.
Kong
Postman. Yeah. Kong, sorry. And he climbs that No, he jumps down but climbs because of gravity.
Exactly. So Jenna was hella confused at that. Kong is like, his feet is like, you know, on the ceiling. He's looking up and Godzilla is like also looking down at him. So the perspectives were weird, but then I had to explain the inversion thing to him quickly.
And then he jumps down and climbs up into Hong Kong. and Hong Kong, okay. I've been to Hong Kong. Mm. It is not that neon.
I had a question about the neon.
It is not that neon. They have this thing.
Even the bloody car.
It's actually pretty fucking cool, though. They have this, you stand on like the what do you, almost like a promenade.
Mm.
Do you know colored people say promenade and then white people say promenade?
Yeah, it's the prom, bro.
Yeah, prom, bro.
To run the prom.
So you stand on like a prom, bro.
Yeah.
And you can view like the skyline, and they do this thing at like, I think it's like 8 o'clock every night where it lights up. But it's not neon. It's almost like a light show with the buildings. But when they showed Hong Kong, I was looking for places that I've been to, which was pretty cool. But it is not that neon. It looks like even the Apex's lair.
Mm.
I thought it was like Tron.
Yeah, I made a note to say that this guy's watched way too much Tron.
It was just like Tron.
The ship that they are flying on apparently gets lit up.
Everything gets lit. It's fucking lit working for that company.
The neon is just bonkers.
Their light bulb, I mean, unless they're using LEDs, I mean, that's a bit more. But anyway.
If one of those things breaks, one of those globes breaks.
Yeah, I was surprised by the amount of neon used in the film.
I have a theory that I think that because of a lot of the pushback at darker films, and like even Game of Thrones was attacked because their main fights were too dark, Batman vs. Superman, not enough lighting. There have been a lot of issues with that. And I think Adam Wingard was just like, I'm going to go as far to the other side of
the spot. Then just light things. You don't have to go neon light things.
I know, but then his fight is pretty much like in the daytime.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you didn't need all of that extra.
I didn't. Because, I mean, it did look cool, to be fair. Like the pinks and the purples and like reflecting off the bodies as they were fighting through the buildings. But it was a little unrealistic for me. But that fight, amazing.
That was dope. And round two.
Round two.
Did not go to Godzilla.
No, it went to Kong. No, so, okay. The way they move in between the buildings was amazing. For monsters that huge, even Godzilla, he seemed like a little nimble. No, he was quicks on his feet.
They actually, Godzilla had a lot more of the Zilla thing going on.
Yeah, the Helen Zilla.
Yeah. More Botox.
Botox. And inappropriate tweets.
A little bit of some, you know, privilege issues there
100%
as well, with his power.
Colonialism. Mm. So he moves swiftly. Yeah. Every time he tried to use his atomic breath, Godzilla would chop. Kong would hit him in the back. And when he did get to use it, Kong knew he had to get out of the fucking way and scuttle.
Yeah.
It was so well done. It was, I don't know how they choreographed it, but I imagine they planned everything. They had stuntmen sort of figure things out.
I was reading up because I wanted to see if they were getting Toby Kebbell, and there were two guys that did the motion capture for Kong in the previous film.
Yeah.
Toby Kebbell and another guy. And there's someone who's done all of Godzilla's motion capture.
Yeah.
Apparently, none of those actors came back.
None
of those people were back for this film. So I think it's all digital this time around in terms
of... No, but you must now plot out and
I know, but I'm saying they didn't have that human element that they've had previously.
Well, we don't know for sure.
I don't know for sure, yes. That's just...
Find out.
We'll find out.
Okay, you have to wait while we find... No, I'm kidding. And there's certain shots where it's almost like the camera was mounted on their arm while they're throwing a punch and stuff. Those type of things that really just immerse me in
but
that
But all of that, like even the throwing of a punch, you feel the weight
The weight of it. No, okay, I put my speakers on. Mm. Did you put your speakers on?
No. Don't have speakers.
You don't have speakers?
No.
Okay, I got old Logitech speakers connected to my TV. Shit was bruh, this is like fucking 15-year-old speakers.
But they work.
They do work and they slot still, but like I put that on so you can feel that. And Junkie XL did the music for this.
Really?
One. Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently. And he was a big fan of the films and he's like, he wanted to use like the biggest bass drum known to man to sort of give that impact. And it kind of worked. I mean, the sound, I don't have a 5.1 surround sound system, but I imagine if you do, shit will slap.
Yeah.
So that fight, I absolutely loved. They were still evacuating people.
Yeah. But then at some point, there's just not that many people.
I think I do think a lot of people died, though.
I would think so. Do you know what I was telling Jen?
Because Hong Kong's very densely populated.
And also, you know, work culture there.
They're still at the office.
That side, it's like, I was surprised that some of those office buildings are empty. I half expected that there'd still be like a meeting going on.
No, they're still at the office. So Kong beats him down.
Yeah. Kong's but got then, his axe. They figure out that the axe can actually absorb
the atomic breath.
Yes.
And then sort of power it, and he knocks...
It's like a Mursa defibrillator at that point.
But Godzilla gets up.
Yeah, he's not really knocked
out. It's like, I wrote here... So I had the first one, round one winner, Godzilla. Kong has no chance in water.
Yeah.
Then I wrote, round two winner, Kong. Mm. Fight is on land. Kong had atomic axe.
Mm-hmm.
Then in my next note immediately after... Scratch that, Godzilla wins.
Because Godzilla is just like, okay.
Yeah, Godzilla gets up and beats the shit out of
him. It's kind of like when a big brother and a little brother fight.
Yeah.
And the big brother's just like, I'm done with this shit.
But I like that moment because it was... So even though Godzilla was defiant in his loss, he knew he had lost. But he wasn't going to lie there and just sort of submit.
Mm.
So... Kong is roaring in his face and he roars back, but Kong knows, okay, I've beaten you. I don't need to kill you. And he stops and walks away, and Godzilla kind of passes out, which I thought was very cool.
Mm. Kong passes out.
Kong, fuck my life.
They don't look alike. Sam Jackson and Lawrence Fishburne all over again.
Okay, I get it now. No, I'm kidding. So I like that moment. And Adam Wingard, before this movie came out, he said there will be a clear winner. Mm. And Godzilla is a clear winner. Mm. If that isn't who you were rooting for, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, and my note on this was, it makes sense.
That makes sense.
The Godzilla they've established in this universe.
It's too powerful.
He's just way too powerful. Yeah. Godzilla is crazy strong.
Yeah.
Even on land, it doesn't matter if Godzilla's fighting on land or in sea.
Yeah.
Godzilla is insanely
strong. I know.
Strong.
Kong had to get like tricky with it. With the axe, he needed as much. He had to move it around between the buildings.
And even then, he was like barely evading Godzilla. So
Godzilla stomps his ass, man. And I'm okay with it. I was rooting for Kong, but it makes sense, like you said.
Yeah. And at that point, Kong like collapses, closes his eyes, and he's actually busy dying, which is why Godzilla kind of leaves him be.
Yeah.
He doesn't finish him off.
Yeah, he doesn't, which is nice. Mm. And then we get into the real reason, the real villain, I would say.
Which is what everyone kind of...
Yeah, it was given away. I actually saw that exact shot that they showed in the trailer. Mm. And Apex had developed Mechagodzilla.
Yeah. I told Jen afterwards that is like one of the first scenes in the trailer.
Yeah.
I was like, jeez, guys.
So we find out that Apex, the reason why Godzilla attacked that facility in the first place was because Apex had sort of recreated this energy signature that mimicked a Titan.
Yeah. So at the post-credit scene of
previous Godzilla. Back to that? God, I can't remember. Do you know, I forgot Millie Bobby Brown in the previous film.
Yeah, she was there.
I know she was there. I forgot.
Yeah. That long ago.
I was like, no, but also that movie wasn't, the human characters were so trash.
Yeah.
I forgot the human story. Yeah. I only remember the fights.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I mean, at least Millie Bobby Brown and Kyle Chandler had something to do with
it. Kyle Chandler's been in two Kong universes.
The only one that has been that I know of.
Crazy. Anyway.
So, at the end of King of the Monsters... Ghidorah was defeated, but there was one head left, and Alan Jones, what's his name, the bad guy, the villain in that movie, he left with that head. That head has subsequently been sold to Apex.
Yes.
And because they are using that energy signature,
it's like a biological supercomputer, is what he said. And they are using that energy signature to mentally link to Mechagodzilla initially.
Yes.
But once they get the energy and they sort of replicate it from Hollow Earth, shit goes wrong and that link is broken and Mechagodzilla is sort of operating on his own.
Yeah. So, and this is again screenwriters afterwards explaining. The three heads of King Ghidorah, the three dragonades, they communicate via telepathy.
It's so Ghidorah.
Yeah, Ghidorah, sorry.
I don't want them to come for us.
Yeah. And
I don't have a problem. You can mispronounce all you want, but these motherfuckers come for us. You know they come for us.
So because those three heads communicated through telepathy, that was the signature, the energy that they were using.
Yeah.
And then Ghidorah does the once he's fully powered, he decides, I'm actually going to take over now, and uses his electricity to kill the dude in his...
He kills Ken Watanabe's son.
Yeah, and Ken Watanabe's son as well.
So,
and Mechagodzilla is then fully mechanized.
Yeah, and he is quite powerful, I will say. It's actually amazing. Like, he's better than I thought he would be.
Yeah, I mean, the Mechagodzilla is that, if you've seen the older films...
Yeah, you know. The older films, they have their appeal and so on, but essentially it's men in rubber suits.
Exactly.
So they're fighting in like
And they've combined a few different iterations of the character.
Yeah.
So the older versions of Mechagodzilla didn't have the drill tail.
Yeah.
And the newer ones did, and then they like kind of combined both elements.
They've got the drill tail, they've got rocket missiles. Spikes, missiles.
Where does he refill these rockets?
I don't know.
Does he use them?
I don't know. I think it's...
Wherever he wants it.
Like, you need a mecha mechanic to fucking put that thing together.
But he killed everyone.
Yeah, I don't know. But he's beating the snot out of Godzilla.
Like, completely. Do you know what was interesting? So, in the training, they finally combined the Mutos that we saw in the ones from Kong.
Yeah.
With this Mechagodzilla's training. So, they've been capturing these things and then, like, the eggs of the Mutos and bring them out and letting Mechagodzilla train on them.
Yeah.
It was just that he never had enough energy, right? They couldn't get his power levels high enough without the Hollow Earth energy. I thought that was like interesting because he just dominates those things. Like 5-second battles.
Just shoots. He cuts this with his it's not an atomic breath. It's like a red laser breath, and he just cuts this thing in half. He's beating the shit out of Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And then Devgirl realizes Kong is going to die.
Yeah.
And they fucking shock his heart.
Turn into a defibrillator.
Yeah, they turn it into a defibrillator, wake him up. He puts he lethal weapons his shoulder.
Yeah.
Boom, ooh, puts it back into
socket. That was hectic.
Like slams it against the building.
Yeah, like Mel Gibson did.
And then he joins the fight. Mm-hmm. And the two of them taking Mechagodzilla on was
amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
It was so much better. My closest analogy or my closest reference point was The Rock and Vin Diesel in Fast Five.
Yes, yes.
And it was so much better.
So much better.
Because Kong's like nimbleness and ability to like hold things with his arms. And
wrapping
stuff.
Around his arms and sort of like jumping up and down, and Godzilla just...
How iconic was it when Mechagodzilla's beating Godzilla and he pulls his mouth open and he's about to do what Godzilla did in the first Godzilla movie?
Yeah.
And then Kong's like, ah! Because
then, no.
I know what's going to happen.
And Kong like saves him in the end. Amazing. Godzilla, obviously, they are smarter than we think, so they realize that he can charge the axe, and he charges the axe with his atomic breath.
I called that. I knew that had to happen.
That was
going to
come back. And Kong just chops that bra up, bro.
And Godzilla's like, you know what? You know, right?
Yeah, but they had to balance it out because Godzilla beat him.
Yeah.
So Kong had to have his moment.
Exactly.
And he chops this thing up and rips his head off.
Uh-huh.
And holds it in the sky and just like roars. It was so dope.
So awesome.
I know. I love this.
And Kong gets to settle in Hollow Earth as the ruler of Hollow Earth.
Yeah, in the end, he does. I really love I love this movie for what it was, the monster fights.
Yeah. Don't go in wanting any story.
No.
Any story.
You actually get more emotion from Kong than you do from the humans.
Speaking of with a more emotive Kong, how emotional is the scene where Kong is like, I want to go home?
Yeah.
When he signs that for the first time.
He's just
time,
like home,
right?
And they're like, oh my God, he's talking.
Yeah.
And he's like, home. Just
take me
home.
Yeah.
Fuck, that was dope.
That was awesome.
Nah, I love that. I love the fights. I love the fights.
Yeah.
That's
look,
it.
This is... The movie is called Kong vs. Godzilla.
Yeah.
Or Godzilla vs. Kong.
Godzilla vs. Kong. King.
So,
King Kong.
Middle name Keith. Kinky. They don't mention that because of the triple K analogy.
Of course, yeah. You don't want to. That's a little. Oof. So overall, yeah, man. I want to watch this on a bigger TV or something.
Yeah, I feel that too. The interesting thing for me is that typically you get like films announced, you know, a slate of movies are coming out. And with these types of universes, it's like, it's this one and then we're going to do this film and that film and they're going to come back for a rematch.
Yeah.
Nothing is announced.
Nothing is announced. I even waited for after credit scene and there was nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
The reason for that is obviously because King of the Monsters didn't do that well at the box office. It barely made its money back.
But this one is the top earner during the pandemic.
Yeah, it's already kicked Snyder's ass.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
It like broke records for the 4-day release period for HBO Max. It's the best performing movie since the start of COVID-19.
Yeah.
And cinemas closing. It's outperformed everything. Even doing better than Wonder Woman 84, which was the best performing film.
Yeah.
Until this has come.
Horrible film.
Yes.
So I'm happy. I'm happy with how it turned out, and I'm happy that he took the direction that he did.
Yeah.
That deaf girl is from an old deaf family.
Really?
Yeah. How crazy is
Wowzers.
That? I don't have much facts on the film.
It's really new. So no, I know it's really new. To get, yeah. But even like me trying to find the who was doing motion capture and stuff, there's hardly anything out yet, fun fact-wise, about the movie.
No. He did explain why the runtime is less than 2 hours. Mm. He said a lot of fans online were asking me, is this going to be a 3-hour film? When it was announced that it was a little under 2 hours, they immediately thought, when is the director's cut coming out?
Mm.
I like movies under 2 hours. I think if you do a movie over 2 hours, you better have a damn good reason for it to be that long, Zack Snyder. at the end of the day, if you're going to make this movie into 3 hours, you're not going to get an extra hour of monsters fighting. You're going to get an extra hour of people talking about monsters. Exactly. And he is 100% correct.
Agree with him 100%. I mean, there's barely enough story to fill 2 hours. Yeah, So I am so glad he didn't try and make this thing any longer than it had to be.
Yep.
I don't need to know all that Hollow Earth stuff.
Fuck, man.
It's interesting, but I don't care.
Yeah. I saw another reviewer say that he felt it was a missed opportunity for Kong and Godzilla to not fight in Hollow Earth. In terms of like the gravity and stuff, that would have been cool. But I didn't need it. I mean,
but also storyline-wise, the scriptwriters touched on that. Their thing is Kong settled on Earth, or Godzilla settled on Earth, because his ancestors were defeated by Kong's ancestors.
I see.
So that's why when Kong gets on his throne. It's like,
Do you have to like read all these interviews and chat to get the full context of the entire world?
Basically.
No, fuck that, man.
Yeah. So, but that's why Godzilla was fine with Kong going back to Hollow Earth, because Godzilla doesn't want to. It's like built in Godzilla's DNA that, you know, you've been defeated there, so don't go back.
So, rating system.
Mm.
Usually you do this.
No. We take turns.
I know we take turns, but I don't like turns. Mm. So, I'm going to pull up.
Oh, Godzilla version. So, Zilla being the worst. Helen being the worst.
No. I'm gonna show.
The reason I keep saying Zilla is because the 1998 US produced Godzilla film is so bad that Toho being the company behind the original Godzilla, the executive.
So the worst is Zilla. 1998.
Yeah.
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have the original 1954. Have a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only gonna do four.
Okay.
So 1998.
Mm-hmm.
1954.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
Shin. So we got 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the original Godzilla. Mm-hmm. Then Shin Godzilla, and then MonsterVerse Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
So out of those four, with 1998 being the worst, and MonsterVerse Godzilla being the best, where would you rate it?
I feel like I'd go with Shin Godzilla, but like so close to MonsterVerse Godzilla, it's not even funny.
Okay, I'm going to do exactly the same. And it's only because of the human story.
Yeah. I think if they, I don't know.
I don't know how they would fix it. But
Exactly. If they just did something differently there, like maybe fewer humans to focus on.
Maybe. Because, that's another note I made. I said there's so many human characters. Yeah. There were way too many.
I wasn't invested in any of you guys.
No. They could have stuck with the Apex and the deaf girl story. Yeah.
And that would have been
That would have been fine.
We didn't need extra Alexander Skarsgård.
No, dude. We didn't need Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, that whole thing. They literally did nothing. Kyle Chandler did the most nothing out of everyone.
Also, that section where they...
Why did they fly him out to password? Tokyo?
Yeah. Who knows? When they're hacking the password, what did that do?
I don't know. Oh, I missed this, but according to Jenna, it briefly froze Mechagodzilla.
A split second.
Yeah, and then that gave... When he was about to shoot the breath in, and that gave Kong enough time to come and help.
Wow.
So that was the purpose of this.
But they didn't know that they were reviving Kong.
No.
So they were just hacking to...
For that brief second. Yeah.
No, cuck, man.
It all came together.
Anyway, it is what it is. I loved the fights.
I would highly recommend it. Just don't watch it just for the fights.
Just for the fights. You don't even have to listen to the story, I think.
No. You really don't.
You don't. Make your popcorn, get your snacks ready, and just enjoy it for what it is.
You have some shout-outs for this week.
Yes. I shout. I shout out. I don't have shout-outs. Because I can't remember if we shouted out. We shouted out Dean Schroeder already.
You can shout out Dean again. Dean's got some awesome ideas.
Why didn't we shout him out for the same thing?
No, he gave us our Tarantino idea now. The MKT.
Oh yeah, Dean gave us a Tarantino idea that we're gonna do.
Yeah, we might invite Dean on for that.
Yeah, or not.
Or not. You know.
No, I don't know.
Don't get your hopes up, Dean.
I'll have to hear his voice first. If it matches ours, because ours is.
We've got svelte, sexy voices.
So sexy.
Oh man.
In your ear. Oh.
We haven't mentioned our clothes this whole episode.
No, we haven't. We are butt. Clothes. No, we're clothed.
But clothed. So, shout out Dean Schroeder. Shout out Dr. Layla Faker, who also is always contributing ideas and stuff. That
is it not Fakir?
No. She isn't Fakir.
She's Faker.
Faker. F-A-Y-K-E-R.
Oh, shit. My bad.
No, I don't. You know, like how sometimes colored people like fancy up their surnames?
Yeah.
It's not Papir, it's Papier.
Oh, yes.
No. I don't do that.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, shout out to the two of them. And if someone wanted to get hold of us, where can they get hold of us, Johnny?
Instagram, Bicycle Brasso Podcast on Instagram. Comment on the post. Who did you want to win? Are you happy with the results?
Yeah.
Do you want the Monsterverse to continue? Let us know. Hit us up in the comments or on Gmail, BicycleBrasso on gmail.com.
Nice. Everyone stay safe. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.